Do you hear that? Stop. Listen for a sec. That's the sound of background noise, and it's starting right now.
Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. I hope you're as excited as I am for today's episode. It's going to be a really interesting one. We're talking to Kelly Fleming, an artist from BC, and I almost had troubles trying to describe these because it starts out almost like kind of folky vibe, but a lot of her newer music is remixes, and it's very dancey, and it's very fun. So this is going to be a super cool episode. We're listening to tons of different music here. As you guys know, I always like to get the show started. I will let you, Kelly, just tell us a little bit about yourself, your journey with music, and kind of your little shtick.
Yay! Well, thanks so much for having me on the show. It's great to be here. I'm a BC artist located in Victoria, on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Lekwungen-speaking peoples. And I love how you introed my music. I am a singer-songwriter in the folk, indie folk, rock genre, sometimes folk pop I get placed in. It started in the pandemic, actually, in the lockdown, when I had an album release, kind of big concert and tour and everything kiboshed. I thought, what am I going to do? So I started connecting with DJs all over the world and started doing all these remixes of my songs. And it just kind of took off. So, yeah, I guess folk rock singer-songwriter, sometimes synthwave is a good way to describe me.
Yeah, it was really cool, and it was really interesting looking through your discography, because I thought that was really interesting how, you know, all your earlier stuff was a little more folky, a little more rocky, and then, yeah, all of a sudden it got real dancey, and I'm like, this is super cool. So one of the first songs we're going to chat about and listen right away here is Sturgeon Love, but we're going to listen to the Marco Rell remix. Why don't you tell me a little bit, both about the original song and then your decision to remix it.
Sure. So the original song definitely has that folk rock sense to it. I wrote it as a tribute to the magical sturgeon that live in the Fraser River, which is a river system that runs through the city of Vancouver, which I lived in for decades. And the original song has it's very rhythmic. I wrote it with really a rhythm guitar in mind. So my rhythm guitar kind of is the foundation of the original recording of that song. And I reached out to Mark. He's a musician that I got connected with during the pandemic lockdown as well. I'm trying to remember how we connected. I think we both had songs on the Q Reviews LGBTQ plus music chart. I think that's how we connected. And he's remixed a couple of other artists I know. And I reached out to him and said, hey, Mark, would you be interested in remixing one of my songs? So he was like, yeah, I would. So he took Sturgeon Love and turned it into this kind of EDM summer dance vibe. Yeah, although I released it at kind of a change of season kind of around the spring equinox. So I thought, you know, leading up to that, so I was like, yeah, I kind of get the feel that it, you know, there's movement and shifting in the remix, so I kind of wanted to release it before the summer.
I love it. Honestly, I think it was perfect timing to release it, as far as, you know, close to the spring equinox. And I love sturgeons as a fish. They are such a neat animal. Like,
aren't they amazing?
They're little dinosaurs in the river. They totally are.
They really are. You know, like they've lived there for thousands and thousands of years, and some of them are hundreds and hundreds, maybe even 1,000 years old, that are plying the waters. I'm not sure if there's ones that are that old still. A lot of them were fished by white settlers in the early 20th century. I came across these archival photographs of these, they didn't actually look like fishermen because they were wearing suits, but these guys standing, white guys standing on a dock with this massive sturgeon. It was like, I don't know, 8 feet long or more. And yeah, so I came across and I wanted to know more about the sturgeon. And you're right, they're total dinosaurs. They've been kind of like the, you know, giant cedars or Douglas firs that grow here on the West Coast. They're like these witnesses to everything that's going on around them.
Yeah, no, it is beautiful. And just like the song, which we're going to listen to right away here at Sturgeon Love, but the very cool dance remix. We're going to spin that right away. And then when we come back, we'll bring it back and we'll actually talk about some of your more folky and rock songs.
You did not wait for me at the shoreline on your knees, my Fraser girl.
You're listening to Background Noise. Like what you hear? Follow us on Instagram at Background Noise The Show for links to episodes, playlists, and more.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. We're talking to Kelly Fleming, just an awesome artist from BC. She started out doing a lot of like folk and rock stuff, which we'll talk about and listen to in a minute. Recently, she's re-released a bunch of her songs as dance remixes, which are really cool, and we'll definitely listen to a bunch more of those later. But I want to talk about one of the oldest songs I found on Spotify, because I always like to go digging. This one was from 2004, from your album Songs from the Tin Forest, Tea Time. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that song?
Wow. Wow. That's so thanks. Thanks for asking. That's like a trip down memory lane. I haven't thought about that song for a while. Wow. So that song, 2004. So that was right at the end of, I was in a folk rock band in Vancouver for years called Hazel Motes, that did quite well in the 90s and the very early 2000s, you know, lots of songs charting on college radio. So that song kind of was towards the end of that era, and just as I was kind of becoming a solo singer-songwriter. So Tea Time is, very much, it's got my signature jangly guitars from that era. And it's a song about not regrets, but not wanting to live a life where you look back and have regrets. So it's about kind of seizing the moment, I think. So, and that was recorded with Jenny Beach on drums and Wendy Atkinson on bass. So we were, there was a three piece, my band then, and we recorded it with Daryl Newdorf in Vancouver in the downtown east side. And he had this really cool studio in the downtown east side in Vancouver that I had the pleasure of working with him in on a couple of different projects. I might have to pull that song out of my back catalog and start performing that again now that you've asked me about it. I love it.
Honestly, it was a really good song. I enjoyed it, and that's why I put it in the list here, because I did listen to the whole album, and I was like, this, like, that one just really stuck out to me in particular. I'm not too sure why, but I was like, I really like this song.
Cool. Thank you. You know, it's funny you ask about it, because I released an album with Hazel Motes. It was just one album in those days. This would have been, what year was that? 1995, I think the album came out. So in those days, it was kind of before the music business was very much about artists releasing single after single. So it was very much an album focused time. And releasing an indie album at that time was kind of a gargantuan task. And we did that without any backing or funding, kind of self-funding. And we worked with Daryl. So it's funny, because you asked about that time. I'm actually re-recording a couple of songs from that time and releasing 30th anniversary editions of them. So thanks for asking about it, because that gave me an opportunity to talk about that.
Hey, no problem. And I mean, honestly, that's why I always like to dig as far back as I can go, because every time when I dig this far back, the artists always go, oh, well, thank you for asking about it. It's been a long time.
That's great.
And I guess another one of the older songs we'll play right away here that I wanted to chat about, 2016 album. This one was called Cautionary Tale. And I absolutely love this song, because it is such an empowering sounding song. Like, the lyrics themselves, I found, like, while it might have kind of almost a sad vibe to it, but not really if you, like, really listen to it. I love this song. So why don't we chat about Cautionary Tale?
Cool. Okay, so that was off of my 2016 album, No Static. And that album was a bit of a departure for me, because it was a 50-50 collaboration with a musical pal of mine from Vancouver, Ron Yamuchi. And we co-wrote all of the songs together on the album. And that's a song that Ron started and we finished together. And he described it, I can't remember when we were writing it. I think he had a verse written and we finished it together. But he described it as, it was a song he started writing for his daughter, who was a teenager at the time. And it was about being a father to a teenaged daughter and just the challenging world for young women to navigate, and just how he was grappling with that and wanting to kind of protect her, but give her advice and help her live her best life possible. So that's where that song came from.
It's adorable. I love that. Let's spin those two songs here. We're going to spin Tea Time from the 2004 album, Songs from the Tin Forest, and then Cautionary Tale from the 2016 album, No Static. And then when we come back, you sent me some other songs as well that I definitely want to chat about those artists. But we'll do that in a couple minutes here.
You're listening to Background Noise. Like what you hear? Follow us on Instagram at Background Noise The Show for links to episodes, playlists, and more.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. We're sitting down with Kelly Fleming, kind of like a folky rock artist from BC, but lots of her new music that she's been re-releasing has been remixed to be fun dance songs, which I think is super cool. But you sent me a couple artists that I took a listen to and we're definitely going to chat about here. One of them was, is it R. Mason? Is the dot in the name or is it just R. Mason?
That's a really good question. I always say R. Mason, but Rebecca, who's the lead singer and songwriter, she might correct me at some point.
Okay, no problem. So we'll say R. Mason for now. European Swimsuit. Why don't you tell me about her?
Yeah, so R. Mason is a band from Victoria. Indie, I wouldn't call them folky, more kind of elements of jazz and improv and prog, maybe, in the music. There's Rebecca is the singer-songwriter. Jonathan Blockmanis is the guitar player. I love his guitar playing. He's very, got such a unique kind of melodic and tonal voice to his guitar, and really brings the songs to life. And we are on the same management label, so we've played some shows together here in Victoria. And European Swimsuit is Rebecca's latest, or R. Mason's latest single. I know they have another one coming out soon.
Right on. Why don't you tell me quick about your live shows? What do those kind of usually look like?
Yeah, well, it depends on what the live show is. I often play solo, just me and one of my guitars. And, you know, I love to tell stories. So there's a lot of stories about the songs and what they mean, or kind of where they sprung from. And I also do have a band. So I have like a 3-4-piece band that I play with as well. And so drums, bass, guitar, keys. I'm also starting to build my synthwave chops to do performances of my synthwave songs on my own. So that's coming.
Right on. That's going to be cool.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Nice. Another one of the artists that you sent me as well that was really awesome was Sale Cassidy. We're going to play Leather Shoe Lovers from them in a couple minutes here. But why don't you tell me about them?
Yeah, so Sale Cassidy is also Victoria group. And Sale Cassidy is Colin Crivero is the lead singer songwriter. So Sale Cassidy can be Colin or it can be the full band, and I think he has 6 or 7 members in the band. So when they're the full band, they're a big, big band on stage. And Colin's an amazing poet, and I love the poetry of his songs, and he has such a crooner's voice. There's so much emotion and style and depth in his singing that really comes through in the songs. We're also on the same management label. I host a live stream on Instagram Live weekly called Musical Mondays. And Colin was just on, actually. I think last week's episode was with Colin. So people might want to check that out because he has a lot of interesting things to say about mental health and kind of finding yourself through art and art as therapy. Really interesting chat with him.
Cool. You know what? I'm actually glad you mentioned your Musical Mondays because I was scrolling through the YouTube and I actually wanted to ask you about that. I didn't get a chance to watch any of them yet, but I'm definitely going to watch some after the show because they look really cool. Let's take some time for a shameless plug here. Why don't you tell us about that show?
So another thing that I started during the pandemic lockdown was Musical Mondays. So I started live streaming every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And I did that really just to stay connected to my following, my audience, my fans, and to keep my performance chops up. And I just continued it. So 4 years later, and I can't remember what episode number I'm on now, but it's a lot. I'm still doing it. And last spring, I started diversifying a bit, where I started inviting other artists to join the live stream. And we talk about music, what it's like being an indie artist. Sometimes we touch on identity and women in the music business and challenges for women and LGBTQ plus artists. It's just I love doing it. That's my Mondays. And other times I do live songwriting, or I pull some songs out of my back catalog. So Tea Time is one that I'll probably pull out over the next couple of weeks and do that for my live audience, my live stream audience, I should say. And, you know, I have quite a wonderful and lovely group of people who faithfully tune in every week. And then I get, you know, folks who discover it for the first time who tune in too, and from all over the world. Like, some people I question, I'm like, why are you up at this time in your time zone? And they're like, to see you. So very sweet.
Oh, that's awesome. And you know what? It's really fulfilling seeing your work go out to the entire world. I know I've been doing this podcast for, I think, 2 years now. I'm on season two, almost done season two. And it'll never get old looking at the map and seeing people from, like, Africa or Korea or, you know, like, the Ukraine or something. I can see this little dot on the map where it got downloaded and listened to. And
amazing.
Right? It's really cool. And I'm like, oh, my God. And the episodes always release at 1 a.m. Just because it's, like, the auto time. 1 a.m. And I always have to laugh when I log in at like 7 o'clock my time to actually do all like the social media uploading. Sometimes I'll still have like 3 downloads before I even announced it. So I'm like, what are these people doing up at 1 o'clock in the morning listening to my show?
Yeah, I know. It feels so good though. To know that.
Yeah. It's awesome. Well, we're going to listen to European Swimsuit from R. Mason here and Leather Shoe Lovers from Sale Cassidy. And then when we come back, we'll bring it back to you and talk about a couple of your other songs.
Stories of mystery, a misunderstanding of my time, a chronology of my love story. Now that lips dropping holy water, relieve the drag, and again, a European swimsuit begs for you. Touch me.
love us. Climbing through the mud, knowing that I was. Shouting at the moon, pressed against the tree. And some crocus tape. Read page 23. Remember what it said. He was such a dream. This hieroglyphic face.
You're listening to Background Noise. Like what you hear? Follow us on Instagram at Background Noise The Show for links to episodes, playlists, and more.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. We're sitting down and chatting with Kelly Fleming, just an awesome artist from BC. Started out doing a lot of folk and rock, but some of her newer stuff is a little bit more electronic, synthwavy, EDM-y. Pretty fun. We'll listen to some more of the electronic style music in a few minutes here. I do want to just talk about some of the older songs again first. One of the other ones, I absolutely love this one. Off of your 2020 album, the song I'll write for the rest, or for my whole life. My writing's very terrible on here.
Also a really long album title.
Yeah, which honestly, I love long album titles. But the latest meme, I absolutely love that song, especially, I just wrote down the love these shooby-doo-wops in the back.
That's so funny. Yeah, I know.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about that song?
Sure. So when I was writing it, there was this meme flying around social media, the 10 years meme. So, you know, people were like, this is what I looked like 10 years ago. This is what I look like now. I don't know if you remember that. I think it was, I don't know, 2019 or something like that. So then some accounts that I follow that are focused on climate change and the climate catastrophe started posting their own versions of those memes. So one of them was the picture of a coral reef like 10 years ago and how flourishing it was, this particular coral reef, and then 10 years later it was bleached and gone and dead. And so it just really struck me of that image, and the song really kind of came out of that moment of seeing someone take that meme and take it in a different direction. And I, you know, started thinking all about social media and how it's such a distraction to us. But it, I mean, there's a flip side to it where it's also a way of connecting. And it's certainly been a way for me to connect with all kinds of people worldwide. It has an underbelly, definitely an undercurrent, an evil twin. So that's how that song grew out of that. And I really wanted to make it a kind of fun pop song, kind of pop rock song, and kind of deliver a difficult message in a fun and accessible way. So, and that's kind of where the shooby-doo-wops came into. And I credit Sheldon Zaharko with suggesting the shooby-doo-wop. Sheldon is a Juno winning engineer who I worked with on my last album and who I'll be working with on my next one. And that was his suggestion. He's like, oh, it would sound really cool if you did shooby-doo-wop. And I was like, okay, I'll try it. And I love how it turned out. It was lots of fun doing the kind of these fun backups. You know, at one point in the song, I go, do, you know, like the, we better get it. But yeah, so it's a kind of me trying to clobber you over the head with a message without clobbering you over the head.
You did a good job.
Oh, thank you.
Now, why don't you tell me a little bit about that album as a whole and that really long title?
You bet. So the line actually is from the first song on the album, Vanishing of Bees. This is a song I'll write for my whole life, The Sound of Bees in Flight. And it's also, the line reoccurs in the last song on the album, on Coda. It's one of the last lines that I sing on the whole album. And so it's funny, when I wrote that album, the songs are recorded in the order that I wrote them, actually. And so they appear on the album in that order too. Which is kind of funny, but it just worked out that way. And I guess if I want to dig a little deeper into the meaning of that line and why it's significant to me and why I titled the album that way, is I feel that I've been writing the same song my whole life, but just different versions of it. And I feel like my role as an artist is I do have a message and something I want to communicate, and I'm doing it through song. Many other people do it all kinds of different ways in their vocation or their calling. And writing songs is mine. And I guess I hope to get it right one day, right? I hope that songs that I write will be right for some listeners. I mean, that's my hope, different listeners at different times, so that it communicates a message and a hope that the world will be a better place and a sustaining place.
Beautiful. And you know, I'm really glad you actually mentioned Vanishing of the Bees, because I wanted to chat about that song. as well. I have that one written down here because I loved that first line. I don't know why I didn't even pick it up as like that was the title of the album. That went right over my head. But I loved the sound of the bees. So why don't you tell me a little bit about that song?
And so I really wanted the sound of the bees in that song too. So Scott Fletcher, who plays guitar on the album, he also plays lots of other instruments, and one of them is the banjo-tar. So he played a banjo-tar part in that song, which is like, it's a banjo and a guitar all wrapped up in one instrument. And it adds a really lovely buzz in the song, and that kind of buzz, that bee buzz that I was looking for. And funnily enough, the banjo-tar is also in the last song on the album, Coda. So they're kind of the bookends thematically and sonically to the whole album. And I wrote that song, where was I when I wrote that? I think I was on Bowen Island, actually, when I wrote that song. And I'd been reading a lot at that time. This was, I think, 2019, so 5 years ago. So you can imagine things have changed quite a bit, and not for the better since then. But I was reading quite a bit about bees and colony collapse, and just how important bees are to our ecosystems and our very existence. And so I wanted to write a song that conveyed the fear and regret and memories of an adult with the joy and discovery of a child. So of a child discovering the magic of the trees and bees and just the natural world around them for the first time, and the adult kind of mourning the loss of things.
Beautiful. Well, we're going to spin those two songs here, The Latest Meme and Vanishing of the Bees. And then, unfortunately, we do have to wind down the show a little bit, but I do have one more super awesome dancey song to listen to and chat about before we go.
Attractive.
You're listening to Background Noise. Like what you hear? Follow us on Instagram at Background Noise The Show for links to episodes, playlists, and more.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. We were chatting with Kelly Fleming, musician from BC. We just listened to See In Me, one of her remix songs, because she's just re-releasing a bunch of her old songs as dance remixes, which I think is awesome. And I feel like not enough artists do that. like I get why, but I think it's really cool and it's really fun and it brings your music to a whole new audience, which I think is
absolutely,
as like a marketing person too, I think that's a great marketing move, to be honest. Like, good job.
Yeah.
The last song I want to chat about, you have a couple remixes of this one. It's The Great Acceleration. I specifically want to listen to the Atlas to Earth remix though, but why don't you tell me a little bit about that song before we play it?
You bet. Like a number of my songs on my last album, the song I'll Write for My Whole Life, they are on the topic of the climate emergency. And this song is one of that suite of songs as well. And The Great Acceleration, I started reading about The Great Acceleration, which is a period in human history where the rate of progress has accelerated, and so has the rate of degradation of the environment. So I was playing with that idea when I wrote the song, in terms of thinking about motion and movement and speed and love. And I wanted to kind of bring a love song and this concept of the great acceleration together in one. And the reason why I did that is I believe as an artist that if we can get so moved and put into forward motion to develop, I don't know, computers or the oil and gas industry as we do in such an accelerated fashion, then I have to believe that we can throw ourselves with love behind reversing the impacts of climate change and making our planet, or keeping our planet, livable for all of us creatures here. So that's really what that song is about. And it's on kind of the macro level.
Beautiful. Well, we're going to spin it right away here, but before we do, I know you already mentioned you're going to have a music video coming out soon, but is there anything else we should be keeping an eye out on you from?
Yeah, I have a live release coming up of my song, The Last Apple, and that is very much a straight ahead folk rock song. And then on World Bee Day, I have yet another remix of Vanishing of Bees coming out from a UK artist called Lost Signal. And this one is really different. I'm really excited about that too.
Right on. Well, I can't wait to hear both those new songs coming out. That is awesome. And thank you, Kelly, so much for coming on the show today, sharing your stories, telling us what all the songs are about. It was really good to chat with you today. We're going to spin The Great Acceleration from Kelly Fleming, the Atlas to Earth remix.
Stay and watch.
Well, that's all I got for today, folks. Thanks so much for tuning into Background Noise. I had a blast. And hey, you know what? If you're a Canadian musician as well and you're thinking, I want to be on the show, just click the link in our Instagram bio at Background Noise the Show, and we'll try to set something up.